don't be surprised if there's a little bit of similarity in some of these teams, and then the other one is just a total outlier, because that's what we got. We've got three coaches. Well, we basically have three teams that are built in the identities of two of the coaches of the three teams. We got a lot of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan's fingerprints over the Cincinnati Bengals as well. Three similar teams, a lot of zone running concepts, a lot of play action. It's who they are. Then you've got Mahomes and Andy Reid. And they really are an offense that is unlike almost any other happening in football right now. It's a scary proposition to go up against a quarterback who can beat you with nine different arm angles in nine different ways, with his arm, with his leg, with weapons absolutely everywhere. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of the mic'd up montage, Ray, from the Bills-Chiefs divisional round game, but Travis Kelce almost orchestrated that 13-second drive by himself and just what he told Mahomes, saying, hey, this is open over here. I'll be over there. Hit me in the seam. We got it. I'll go down. I'll call the timeout. It's over. I mean, they are a fun, like, that entire team understands offense the way that you would only think, like, oh, the head coach and obviously the quarterback get it. But there seems to be a Spreckenzie Chiefs offense that I don't know if any other team has.
Well, they've been at it longer than everybody else has. I mean, I think there is a case to be made that the 49er offense is different this year than it was 2 years ago. Not dramatically different. They still like to run more than pass, but I think the way they run is different. The Chiefs, you know, have the same quarterback for the last 4 years running, and they still have most of the same targets, and they have the fastest wide receiver in football in Tyreek Hill, which means you can run a bunch of patterns that nobody else really can run. And you've got Travis Kelce, who probably right now is the best tight end in football. So it makes sense that, you know, Kansas City looks different because Kansas City has different personnel that has been playing there for a much longer time than almost anybody else and have played with almost no changes in their offensive scheme, philosophy, or tactics. So, yeah, I mean, Kansas City obviously should be different than the other three. They have advantages the other three don't have.
The only way the Niners get past any of the three remaining teams, starting with the one that they're dancing with on Sunday at SoFi Stadium, is for this defensive line to wreck the game. I mean, there are maybe options for other teams on how to win. Really not the Niners. They have to have Bosa, Armstead, Arden Key, Kentavious Street, DJ Jones, Kevin Givens, Hurst, Willis, Ibukam. Like, they just have to be a wave of pressure that never, ever stops rolling in on Matthew Stafford all damn day. It's how they beat Aaron Rodgers. It's how they beat Dak Prescott. And it's going to have to be how they beat not only Matthew Stafford, but whoever they would run into in the Super Bowl, you're going to need that same recipe. We've been talking about how this defensive line is just crushing quarterbacks, and rightfully so. They have been. I mean, Rodgers was pressured 18 times. He got sacked 5 times. Dak Prescott, we've sacked 5 times. This is a defensive line that is doing everything it can to make really good quarterbacks really average quarterbacks. But it's not just what they're doing at quarterbacks that's getting the 49ers into a win column. This team has been killing it in the run game, too, defensively. In the beginning of Week 10 and through last weekend, the 49ers defense has held opponents under 100 rushing yards in 10 of their last 11 games. The only team that went off on them was the disappointing game at Seattle. In Week 13, Seahawks ran for 146 yards on 27 attempts, an average of over nearly 5.5. Everything else is in the 3-2 range in terms of yards per carry. Ray, this defensive line is as intimidating as Kansas City's offense.
It's close. But I think Kansas City probably scares more defenses than the 49er defense scares more off most offenses. But it's not by a wide margin. It's a pretty thin margin, in fact. And I would say more than just the defensive line in terms of shutting down the running game. I'd say the front seven do that. Because they, you know, after a slow start, Fred Warner is now a force again. Dre Greenlaw, now that he's healthy, makes that linebacking core better. I think the front seven are defining how good the 49ers are in both areas. The defensive line is in charge of making sure that the passing game, you know, that they're facing is uncomfortable. But in terms of stopping the run, that's all those guys.
Kyle Shanahan on his defensive line not only wrecking quarterbacks but running games too.
I personally hate going against D-lines running the ball that play like ours. I mean, it's hard to go against guys who, yeah, you're rushing the passer, but it's not just rushing the passer. You're just penetrating every play, which is a lot easier to get to the quarterback when you're penetrating. But you still got to be able to react to the run. And when you can blow up a lineman, whether you're in the gap or not, sometimes you're knocking them into the gap. And it allows things kind of to define for our linebackers. So it puts a lot of stress on an O-line when you're like that. But you got to have good linebackers who can feel and play off them, because those gaps aren't always just set in stone. And I think we have three good linebackers who can feel it very well. And I also think our D-line is pretty good.
They are pretty good. The 49ers have actually been better than we've wanted to give them credit for, not only this year, probably in 2019 as well, although they were definitely, you could feel them coming a little bit more in command the entire way through. I mean, my gosh, the road to the Super Bowl went through their stadium, for goodness sakes. This is a team.
Well, yeah.
We then saw them totally decimated by injury. And Dan Le Batard said, if you think about it, besides health taking last year down, this is maybe the best team in football over the last 3 years.
I believe you can make the argument that the healthy 49ers over the last 3 years are as good as any team in the league, that they could beat anybody, and are so good that they could beat anybody while hiding their quarterback. They could be 6 minutes from winning the Super Bowl. If he makes one throw, they win the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo perhaps is looked at differently. If you look at the quarterbacks, like largely, you had Herbert didn't make the playoffs, and Russell Wilson didn't make the playoffs, but the teams that were in the playoffs had the best quarterbacks. Garoppolo's an outlier. The 49ers are an outlier. You know, they have made it as far as they have made it with Garoppolo. I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in five playoff games, he's 4-1 with like two touchdowns and five interceptions and a terrible quarterback rating. And the one loss is the Super Bowl in the five playoff games. So that team, it doesn't win because of him. It wins in spite of him.
Jimmy Garoppolo is now 3-0 in the playoffs, 9-2 overall in career games when he's passed for zero touchdowns. Yeah, that's outlierish. In five career playoff starts, 730 yards, two touchdowns, five interceptions, a terrible quarterback rating of 70.3. He's yet to throw a touchdown here in this postseason. And again, his overall playoff record is 4-1, the only loss being in the Super Bowl. It is the exact opposite of how you'd think this league set up to work, to run. It's the exact opposite of obviously what Kyle Shanahan really thinks is the best way to go about doing it. Because again, he drafted another guy to do it another way. Yet he still cannot walk away from the guy who has so much success just doing it this way. Ray and I opened up the show today talking about, has the decision on Garoppolo already been made? Ray doesn't think it has been. In a way, I think it almost has been, because I can't imagine that they would be placing the results of any one particular game as the reason to bring him back, because Jimmy is more of a macro quarterback than he is a micro quarterback. If you get him under a microscope, you see all the reasons to move on. If you take the big, broad look at, well, look at the success that he's had, that's the reason to keep him around. So to bring it and boil it all down to one game, I don't know. I really don't know. Ray, just for the sake of argument, let's assume, though, the 49ers do move on. wouldn't that be fascinating only to see what Jimmy would possibly become in another situation? Like, if you're telling me he can win the Super Bowl, he can stay right here and everybody can sing Kumbaya and Trey Lance is cool and we're all cool and, yeah, they parade up Market Street and everyone feels good, let him come back for the final year of his career and you didn't get the trade package that is going to be more valuable than retaining him, so it's played again, Sam? All right, give me a bottle of aspirin. I guess we'll do that. But, Ray, on another team, like, it's hard to say because obviously situations dictate everything. Mysterious Team X, though. What would he do in another system? Like, don't you think that would be fascinating to watch? What would Jimmy do somewhere else for another coach? Could you imagine a scenario where he would be even better than he's been here?
Maybe Tennessee, because they, too, live off the running game. Other than that, if he goes to a team that wants their quarterback to throw 40 times a game and throw for 300 routinely, I don't think he's your guy. But I think Tennessee makes more sense to me than anything else. Maybe Pittsburgh, although I have a feeling that they are going to go through a few years of hard times. I don't believe they're going to suddenly turn around and become a force again. But Tennessee's the one that sticks out to me because it's got to be a team that isn't relying on him to win the game. The 49ers don't rely on him to win the game. They rely on him to run the offense that wins the game. And there's a massive difference between those two concepts. They win because they have the ball. They win because they run the ball. And they win because they terrorize the team that has the ball when they don't have it. That's it. It's not Jimmy Garoppolo won the game for us. He doesn't do that. He's on the team that does all those other things, though. And they like him.
Would he flourish or fail on another team? I mean, it's...
And I just...
Yeah, no, I know you just talked, but I'm just saying it's hard to know what that would look like. Here's the one thing that I can't help but notice that, you know, no matter where he goes, he would no longer have at his disposal. The only two coaches he has ever had has been the ordained best ever, Bill Belichick, and the preordained Kyle Shanahan. I wonder if Jimmy Garoppolo, in a looser system, wouldn't show you that maybe he was boxed in or stifled or so. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make much of an argument for pure arm talent being restricted by strict coaching patterns, but he is better in crisis. He is better when it feels like the play's not coming in from the sideline as much as it's being drawn up on the back of a hand using bottle caps and sticks. I really wonder what he would look like in another system. It would be fascinating enough to want to run the experiment. I mean, I wish we could kind of clone him and have him back with the Niners to continue to run that experiment, see what that looks like, and then put him in another city. Put him in multiple cities. Like, how much better would he be in Pittsburgh as opposed to New York or Tennessee or Denver?
Put him on Jacksonville. He'd be dead by Halloween.
Well, I mean, look at Tennessee's offensive line, Ray. He's not making it to Halloween there either.
Yeah, but what they have is Derrick Henry, who erases a lot of mistakes. And the fact that he wasn't fully healthy last week is one of the reasons why Ryan Tannehill threw four picks.
Well, that was rude. Shouldn't have done that. Kind of a lousy way to welcome a guy back from the IR, don't you think? Oh, so happy to have you back. I'm going to throw four picks.
Yeah, he sort of sucked the fun out of the room.
Definitely.